Today is Wednesday, October 12th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Coming up, the top UN rights officer has some tough words for a U.S. presidential candidate.
If Donald Trump is elected on the basis of what he has said already, and unless that changes, I think it's without any doubt that he would be dangerous from an international point of view.
Also ahead, we go to Haiti to get a look at what's being done to clean up and repair after Hurricane Matthew. And McDonald's has put its iconic Ronald McDonald clown on hiatus. Many clowns are not happy about that. And it's all on today's International Edition. The UN's human rights chief said Wednesday that if elected the next U.S. president, and if it's Donald Trump, that he would be dangerous from an international point of view. Speaking with reporters in Geneva, Zeidraad al-Hussein called some of Trump's comments about vulnerable communities and the use of torture deeply unsettling and disturbing.
Where the comments point to a potential, should, depending on the results of the election, for an increase in for instance, or the use of the torture, which is prohibited under the Convention Against Torture, or the focus on vulnerable communities in a way that suggests that they may well be deprived of their rights, their human rights, then I think it's incumbent to say so. And many of Mr. Trump's comments are in that direction, are deeply unsettling and disturbing to me and to us. If Donald Trump is elected on the basis of what he has said already, and unless that changes, I think it's without any doubt that he would be dangerous from an international point of view.
Al-Hussein's comments come a month after he said that populist politicians like Trump and the Dutch nationalist Geert Wilders are using fear and the promise of a world that has never existed in order to gain appeal. The High Commissioner said he has no plans to tone down those kinds of statements, and the pressure is building. Russian diplomats in Geneva and New York have complained directly to Zaid and to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon about his remarks. The UN ambassador to the UN said he had received instructions from Moscow to raise the issue with Ban Ki-moon. He denied earlier media reports that he had intervened on the U.S. Republican presidential nominee's behalf. Joining us now is Andrew Palshevsky, our International Edition social media guru, expert, whatever. What else did you put on that list that you need me to call you?
I don't know. I didn't make that list, but keep going by all means. It sounds like a good list.
Oh, I'm out. What do you got for us?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it goes without saying. I think just about every day for the past, I don't know how many weeks, I've come in here and said that the top turning thing is the election. And I imagine it will be for the next 27 days until the election actually happens. But today what we're seeing is kind of these two different controversies on each side that the opponents are trying to drum up. So for Hillary Clinton, the controversy is WikiLeaks, this release of documents, and Trump supporters are trying to bring this up on social media, trying to point out the different elements that they feel don't make her fit to be president, including what they allege to be some kind of collusion or at least communication between the Clinton campaign and the Justice Department, the possibility that a question from the town hall debate was leaked to the Clinton campaign. So they're using all these WikiLeaks documents and data that are being released to try to make that case against Hillary.
We live in Washington. Everything's leaked. You know that.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So it's and they're waiting for more documents, by the way. WikiLeaks says it's just scratching the surface. Now, on Donald Trump's side, his controversy stemming from those comments that he made in that video last week, more things are coming out about his behavior and his treatment of women. A number of contestants in the Miss Teen USA pageant said that he's gone backstage while they've been changing and getting ready, saying that as the pageant organizer, he can inspect the pageant and be back there. So Clinton supporters and others are jumping on this, saying, in addition to that video that came out on Friday and went all over social media, that these new comments and allegations make him unfit to be president. And even some people calling for him to drop out, although those calls have been, I think, waning in the past few days. But It's on top of those kind of two forces pulling back and forth on social media, you have Donald Trump tweeting out and going after the Republican Party, going after leaders like Senator John McCain, House Speaker Paul Ryan, saying that he doesn't want anything to do with them and going after them. So it's on social media especially has really developed, or some would say devolved, into, you know, kind of a shouting match and something that has been really unseen in any kind of recent political times.
That's a question I had. This is being described by just about everyone as the meanest, dirtiest campaign that anybody can remember. Is the tone of social media overall as low down as the campaign has seemed to be, at least for some candidates?
In a word, yes.
Okay.
But no, it's unfortunate. I think a lot of the heated arguments that you see on the campaign trail from the candidates, from the surrogates, play out on social media, and even more so. Because in real life, when you have these people up on a stage, they have to maintain a sense of decorum. Even Donald Trump has to maintain a sense of decorum. On social media, you take down a lot of those in-person barriers. And when you're interacting with someone digitally, you don't really see them as much of a person face-to-face. You see them as just a username or an avatar picture. So the language gets a lot more heated. The allegations are a lot more heated. And it devolves very quickly into just awful language sometimes. Now, all that being said, there are people on social media who are trying to reclaim that and say, you know what, let's all come together. We're trying to be, you know, Americans here. We may be Republicans or Democrats or independents, but ultimately we're all Americans. Let's try to act like we're all, you know, from the same country. Unfortunately, I think those people are few and far between. They're certainly not getting as much attention.
And that's one of the aspects that some people, especially older people, are ruining about social media, and that is that there are no buffers.
Well, that's one of the big problems. I mean, the big benefits of social media, of course, is getting more people involved. It's connecting more people, getting more information to people. But the problem, too, is that it's bringing in a lot of voices that are not rational, that aren't respectful. So it's a mixed bag, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think it's still going to, you know, by the time this election is over, hopefully resolve. And over time, people are going to come back together. And that divisiveness that we're seeing and that anger and partisanship and heat will cool down some. At least that's my hope.
Now, I'm going to ask you something that I haven't asked you whether you have looked at or not. And if you haven't, just let us know. It's fine. And that's the story that we're carrying. We will investigate further today in that McDonald's has decided to put Ronald McDonald the Clown on hiatus.
I have heard that. It was a result of these clown sightings, evil clown sightings. We were actually speculating about that in our morning editorial meeting as these images of these clowns have spread across social media, what's behind it, and McDonald's saying that they're not going to use Ronald McDonald. It's whether it's a, you know, a promotional stunt. Apparently there's some kind of clown horror movie coming out soon, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's linked to that, even though the movie people said that they are not linked to this. But
yeah, the producer said no, absolutely not.
But Halloween is coming, so who knows. But I will say this very quickly. As much as this election is kind of a horror story for some people, the thing that's trending today is something called the Trumpkin, and people are carving Donald Trump jack-o'-lanterns, and some of them are using, they're scraping out the kind of pumpkin innards.
For the hair?
They're using it as the hair. So,
and it's orange already.
And it's orange already. So this is something that people have embraced online, and so you might see some Trumpkins out if you're out trick-or-treating as the election gets closer. You might see some Donald Trump jack-o'-lanterns.
You know, if you and I had thought about this a few months ago, we could have come out with an already made Trumpkin, you know.
Well, there's always the future. I don't think, regardless of the election outcome, I think it's safe to say Donald Trump's not going to go away anytime soon. So it may be that we'll have Trumpkins for years to come, win or lose.
Never knew. As always, Andrew, I thank you so much. People get in touch with you. And Andrew always has his ears and his eyes open for information by...
Absolutely. On Twitter, at APAL, APAL.
Andrew Palczewski here on International Edition. Among the top stories we are covering on VOA, Russia says that Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov will meet U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry in Switzerland Saturday to discuss efforts to find a peace deal in Syria. Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman says the FBI has investigated Russia's possible role in hacking The email, her email, a road that's being denied by a top Russian government official. Donald Trump is vowing to finish the last weeks of his run for the White House on his own terms, undeterred by party leaders fleeing his campaign. And Thailand's royal palace says their 88-year-old king, Bhumibol Adulyadet, remains in unstable health. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This is International Edition from the Voice of America. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Sightings across the United States of creepy clowns with red lips and fixed smiles are becoming anything but a laughing matter. In fact, they've cast a menacing tone as Halloween approaches. Since late August, the trend of trying to scare unsuspecting people has grown, with scary-looking clowns lurking in woods, appearing on dark roads, or driving in cars, some brandishing knives. The spine-chilling sightings have been reported in states ranging from California and Minnesota to South Carolina, New Jersey, in New York. As a matter of fact, McDonald's today has issued a statement saying it's putting its popular mascot, Ronald McDonald the Clown, on hiatus, limiting his public appearances until further notice, saying McDonald's is being thoughtful in respect to Ronald McDonald's participation in community events as a result of the current climate around clown sightings in communities. Joining us is Randy Christensen. He is president of the WCA, the World Clown Association. Randy, thanks for being with us. What is this entire development of these scary clowns done to the clowning business?
It's been a kind of crazy time. I think there's a kind of a mob hysteria that's come about because of primarily social media. And so it's kind of propagated this thing, not just in the United States, but now there's copycats doing this type of thing in different parts of the world.
Is this something really new, or is it the intensity of it? Or, I mean, have these things happened before in history?
Well, I would say the intensity of it has just been multiplied because of social media primarily. I think a lot of this has happened because of teenagers tweeting their friends, Facebooking, creating accounts in order actually to scare their friends because they think it would be fun. And I would say that this type of thing has happened each year around the Halloween season, but it's just the proliferation of it this year is pretty huge.
Also, there have been threats of violence, especially on social media, from some of these people who apparently are putting on, you know, clown makeup and everything. Is that new or what?
Well, I would say, first of all, any of the reports that I have seen, I have not seen a single one that actually is putting on makeup. They're just buying Halloween masks and standing out on a street corner or going behind a bush. And so from the World Clown Association, let me say, first of all, these people are not clowns. This is somebody that has went and bought a horror character mask and is going out trying to scare people. You know, we at the World Clown Association, the reason we do what we do in clowning is we want to bring joy and smiles and happiness and laughs. And we're visiting children in hospitals. We're visiting senior citizens in nursing homes. We're doing birthday parties for kindergarten girls. And, you know, so we have really nothing at all to do with this and see us as a totally separate camp from what we do. But yet I understand that sometimes the general population, some people can't see that difference somehow when they, you know, are walking through a park and somebody jumps out with a horror clown mask on.
Is there anything that you or your association is or can do about this?
Well, the only thing that we're trying to do is, first of all, we want our members to be safe, because some of our members that are going out just to do community events and charity events and, as I said, visit hospitals, we also want to encourage our members, honestly, to continue on going out and doing these fairs and festivals and family events and do these things, because the only way people are going to see the positive side of what we do is if we keep doing it. We don't want to be intimidated by this Halloween horror clown movement. And honestly, I believe, you know, within a week after Halloween, that this whole thing probably will fade. We want people to understand that we stand in full support of our police departments and security officers that want to help our communities feel safe. And we believe that these people that are terrorizing people and threatening violence should be stopped, probably should be arrested and removed, you know, because of what they're doing to traumatize people. That is not what we are about. We're here to bring joy, and we stand against anything that would come against our communities and bring fear.
What do you think of the McDonald decision of putting Ronald McDonald on hiatus?
Well, I understand that they're in a business that has to do with public relations. Unfortunately, I think a lot of parents are not helping their children understand there's a difference between a horror movie character and a good, clean, friendly, wholesome type character like a Ronald McDonald. I think of what Ronald McDonald has done at things like the Ronald McDonald House for families that have children that are going through a hospital stay, and I think there's been so many positive things as part of Ronald McDonald. But once again, we live in a society of sound bites, and I think the same thing is happening even in this clown area.
Well, I hope you are right in your assessment that after Halloween this dies down. We've been talking with Randy Christensen, president of the WCA, the World Clown Association. Randy, thanks so much for being with us here on the Voice of America.
You're welcome.
This is International Edition. I'm Ira Melton in Washington. As Haiti continues to count its dead and assess damage following the devastating Hurricane Matthew, doctors and public health officers are warning the risk of cholera might urgently be addressed. Unprecedented flooding, particularly in the hard-hit southwestern peninsula, has contaminated already scarce safe drinking water, thereby drastically increasing the risk of a cholera outbreak. Once contracted, dehydration caused by cholera can kill children in as quickly as 6 hours. We move now to another story dealing with children. As we all know, children outgrow their shoes very quickly. Anybody who's a parent knows that very well. That often leaves kids who live in abject poverty with no option but to go around barefoot. VOA's June So has more on that. Faith Lapidus narrates.
These children are happy that they have a new pair of shoes that will always fit. The donated shoes can expand up to 5 sizes and are durable enough to survive all those years.
So it grows in 3 places. The front. It can also grow on the side with the Velcro, and then on the back with our buckle, and can last up to 5 years. The bottom is a compressed rubber, like a tire rubber. Top is just a high-quality leather.
The shoes are the brainchild of Kenton Lee, who once worked as a volunteer in an orphanage in Kenya.
One day, and there was a little girl in a white dress walking next to me, and I just remember looking down and seeing how small her shoes were, and they were just way too small for her feet. They were so small she had to cut open the front of her shoes to let her toes stick out. And I just remember thinking, wouldn't it be nice if there were a pair of shoes that could grow with her feet?
But it was not an easy task to turn his idea into a reality.
I kept writing down, well, I should do this because of this or because of that. All these reasons why it really was important for me to try to make the shoe that could grow and to try to help kids.
Finally, in 2009, a nonprofit organization called Because International was born. This pair of shoes that Lee keeps in his office is a reminder of his commitment.
I told myself I would not get new shoes until the idea was done. So those are the shoes that I wore for a little over 5 years. But once we finally made the shoe that grows happen, then I finally got some new shoes.
So far, working with partner organizations, Because International has sent more than 50,000 pairs of the shoes to 70 countries. The shoe comes in two sizes, a small that fits children ages 4 to 9, and a large for ages 9 to 14.
The majority of our shoes are going to East Africa, so Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, and then also a lot of our shoes go to Haiti and Nicaragua, some of the Central American countries as well.
Lee points out that many children live in areas that don't have adequate sanitation. Many of the soil-transmitted diseases and parasites get into the body through the soles of bare feet.
It's really heartbreaking. They stay sick for a long time. They're not able to afford the medical care. And so a lot of them just really fall behind. They don't go to school, and they don't learn and grow as a child should.
Lee believes a pair of shoes provides more than protection. It offers dignity. And he says his goal is to help get the shoe that grows to as many children as he can around the world.
Because it's a small thing that really does make a big difference to keep them healthy and happy and having more chances to succeed.
For producer June So, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.
And that wraps everything up for International Edition for today. Find us at voanews.com, like us on Facebook at VOA Now, follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Coca-Cola North America President Sandy Douglas recently announced that their partnership to restore and protect damaged watersheds within national forest lands achieved a milestone of 1 billion liters of water restored, and that the partnership will commit to double that outcome through 2018. The 13 restoration areas are located within U.S. national forest land, the source of drinking water for more than 60 million Americans, and they can help ensure that future generations living nearby will have access to fresh water. This milestone that Coca-Cola, USDA, and our partners have reached is just the latest example of how partnerships between the public and private sectors can reach more people, harness more innovation, and do more good than either government or businesses can achieve alone, said Vilsack. America's 193 million acres of public forests and grasslands supply the drinking water for 60 million Americans, support approximately 200,000 full and part-time jobs, and contribute over $13 billion to local communities each year. This public-private sector partnership includes community organizations and taps their collective expertise to address increasing stress on water resources during challenging budget times. Dozens of local communities and hundreds of volunteers and youth work together on water resource management education and stewardship activities. The Carson National Forest in northern New Mexico is an example of the public-private partnerships approach. Local partners work together to help restore an alpine meadow and enhance a natural wetland habitat. By slowing the flow of Placer Creek, a tributary of the Rio Grande, the local team helped to restore a biodiverse meadow habitat and replenish the groundwater that contributes to the city of Santa Fe, New Mexico's water supply. The meadow restoration project is expected to help replenish approximately 49 million liters of water per year. One of the primary purposes of the 1897 Act that established our national forests was to ensure the long-term supply of water for our country, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell said. More than 100 years later, the stewardship of these public lands for forest and watershed health continues to be essential in ensuring an adequate water supply and providing high-quality water for needs across the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.